Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. One of television's top unscripted producers kicks off year 15 of this series. His credits include Fox superhit The Masked Singer, which begins a new season this September. White Label Productions chief executive Chris Wagner joins me next in an internet radio exclusive. Gina Davis's annual Bentonville Film Festival unfolds this week with its biggest TV focus yet. Plenty of panels and 5 series pilots on display, one of them being Dramedy, The Highlight. You'll meet actress, writer, producer, and co-director Steffi Sandis later this hour. Also ahead, The Lord, as in Lord of the Rings, arises, a new owner for Hello Sunshine, an NBC Olympics viewership drag, and our new classic trivia question with 2 prizes in play. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio, and presented on Amazon Music, Verbal, the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, and Apple Podcasts. This just in, it's year 15, and tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book or two when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in our program. Thank you for joining us for the start of the 15th year of the program about TV's current and future. Right off the bat, we want to thank you and you and you and you and for certain you out there for supporting our show with your listening, with your feedback, your questions and answers to our guests, as well as letting the world know that we're on the air. It's all thanks to you. And we're kicking things off with a triple header of shows this week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday at this hour. We have a pair of great guests coming your way in the hour ahead. And as always, we invite you to be interactive with them. It's very simple. All you got to do if you have a question or comment is pick up the phone and dial in with this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. As always, that number is good anywhere you are tapping us across the country, around the world, here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, or TuneIn Radio. And as always, if you're shy about the phone, no issue with us, because we got a chat room for you, and it's up and running right now. It's SimonApple04, and you can find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. So phone or chat room, either way, you're interacting with us. While the program is on the air, you can connect with others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk speaker, tune in screen, follow the instructions, other people can be live with you. Chris Wagner is live with us from Los Angeles after these news notes. And this first one is a blockbuster that just came off in the last hour. Amazon has set the premiere date for the series version of The Lord of the Rings, September 2, 2022. The long-way adaptation of the classic book and movie trilogy has encountered production delays due to the coronavirus pandemic. A worldwide debut is planned for the series, estimated to cost Amazon upwards of $460 million. Hello Sunshine, the venture-creating award-winning scripted series The Morning Show for Apple TV Plus and Big Little Lies for HBO, is about to switch ownership. Founder Reese Witherspoon and backers are turning ownership over to the recently formed media enterprise led by former top Walt Disney officers Tom Skaggs and Kevin Mayer. The price, $900 million. Witherspoon continues as Hello's principal executive and an equity investor. She and chief executive Sarah Harden will become board members of the Skaggs Meyer Company. Hello Sunshine's upcoming TV efforts include Daisy Jones and The Six for Amazon. The low viewership records for NBC's broadcast primetime presentation of the Summer Olympics in Tokyo continue to fall. Just 9.3 million people bought NBC's coverage Saturday night, the first time ever that primetime winner or Summer Olympics was dropped below 10 million viewers. One night earlier, viewership was 10.5 million viewers. Both Friday and Saturday night results were way below comparable results for the 2016 Rio Summer Olympics. Now time for quickies. Showtime will bring the Chi back for Season 5 next year. We had the showrunner and co-star Jasmine Davis on this program several months ago. Dan Brown's The Lost Symbol will begin on Peacock September 16th. Season 8 of The Prophet, featuring the exploits of serial entrepreneur Marcus Lemonis, launches August 10th on CNBC. Amazon Fire TV Cube users will be the first to play Zoom calls and conduct them through their television sets. I'll bet there'll be more smart TV sets and devices doing that in the months ahead. Interactive Project Clash TV continues to raise investment via WeFunder.com, $767,000 as of this afternoon. An Insecure showrunner, Prentice Penny, will move his program development activity from HBO to Onyx Collection, the Disney undertaking overseen by Freeform president Tara Duncan. That is news notes for today. And now joining us live from Los Angeles, our first guest of year 15, the producer of The Masked Singer and many other things on Fox and other places through his production company, White Label. Here is Chris Wagner. Chris, congratulations on your company and welcome aboard.
Thanks so much, man. Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
You're very, very welcome, Chris. White Label, I understand, is a new venture for you. Why decide to put it together?
I've been doing the past two, started my own singles about 6 years ago, and always had partners and really believed in the production services niche of television, so wanted to go out on my own, solo.
And I understand that there is, a talent agency or a production agency that's involved backing this venture, and I'm curious what they bring to the table and how do they help you expand what you're doing?
So I was with UTA and I moved over to A3, and not necessarily financial backing, but just supporting me. They represent so many digital media stars, big talent in the unscripted and scripted world. And so it's a mutually beneficial relationship where I bring an unscripted company to them and they give me access to talent, formats, everything. It's my friend Adam Bold bought the company a few years ago, Abrams Artist Agency, and rebranded it and had been talking to me for a while, and I finally had the right opportunity to jump over and I took it.
Mm-hmm. It seems a lot of talent agencies are getting into different ways to produce programming, whether it's Endeavor, whether it's Creative Arts Agency, and William Moore, et cetera, et cetera. Why do you think now is the time that they're getting involved? What about the world of unscripted television, your world, or the world of scripted for that matter? What's encouraging companies like A3 to get involved?
Well, I think, look, my company exists for that exact reason, right? So these talent agencies, management companies, networks are all creating these studios because they realize they don't need to outsource the production to the bigger companies that have been around for numerous years. So they realize they can do it cheaper, more efficient, quicker themselves involving the bigger companies. So I'm still aligned with a lot of these companies, offering them a cost-efficient solution to produce unscripted TV. Now's the time. Unscripted is as rampant, as popular as ever. Even during the pandemic, you know, we saw an increase in unscripted TV out there due to the canceling of live events, sporting events, concerts, etc. Scripted shows weren't able to be produced for time. So they really, networks rely on unscripted television as the quick fix to get on air.
How has unscripted evolved over the time you've been producing shows in that arena?
Oh, God, so many different ways and in so many different genres, right? I was really fortunate to start on American Idol Season 1, which, while unscripted existed before then, that kind of brought on all the music competition shows, the reality shows, game shows came back. I think it continues to evolve. I think, you know, it's still inspirational and aspirational. I think it was a lot more very much verite back then, or maybe a little more produced now, certainly in the reality genre. But I think everybody's still looking for the big new thing. A lot across seas, there's a lot more searching internationally for proven formats versus creating fresh ones here. It's exciting.
We're speaking with Chris Wagner. He is the head of his own company, White Label Productions, and one of the things they do is The Masked Singer, which starts its latest season on Fox on September 22nd at 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time, and we're going to talk to him about how The Masked Singer is doing, getting ready for the new season, and also get his thoughts about the new spinoff of that series, Alter Ego, that Fox is already promoting, and by the way, will also be premiering on September 22nd. Chris joins us live from Los Angeles on this half hour of Tomorrow Be Televised, the start of our 15th year in existence. All thanks to you. And if you have a question or comment for Chris, make that call right now, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. As mentioned earlier, this is the first of three episodes we are doing Monday, Wednesday, Friday at this hour to kick off year 15. Coming up on Wednesday, we'll have the director of the critically acclaimed documentary Cocaine Cowboys, Billy Corbin. He is back in action on the subject with a brand-new miniseries for Netflix premiering later this month called The Kings of Miami. Also, for the first time in a very long while, we're talking the Outdoor Channel. Yes, it is still around, and one of the reasons why is a program called The Fowl, as in F-O-W-L, Life. You'll meet the host, Chad Belding, and the producer, Tyson Waldron. And in between, Can MTV have new life at 40? That's right. This week is the week that MTV premiered 40 years ago, and right now things are not doing all so good for that network. Well, I have a few thoughts about how MTV could revive itself, and if not get back to the Super Glory days, get some Glory days in there nevertheless. And I want to hear from you, too. So be joining us for our MTV at 40 segment. That's all coming up Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Chris, when we interviewed one of the executive producers of The Masked Singer on this program several years ago, it was very clear there was nothing like the spectacle of this program. Well, here we are now, a number of years later. Why do you think The Masked Singer has not only made it, but also kept going, kept fresh, kept in existence?
I think because it's a great co-viewing program. You know, a lot of those, like Shark Tank and some of the fun game shows, Masked Singer is something we can all sit down and watch. I can sit down and watch with my mom, my friends, and my kids, and it's fun. It's a fun guessing game to guess which celebrity is under there. It's just easy, great co-viewing experience. Who'd you talk to for Masked Singer, Craig?
I think so, yes.
Yeah, he's great. We're partnered up on a lot of stuff. Really great guy and really, really getting out there in the international market. And just so you know, I did Masked Singer Season 3, basically to help finance a startup of my company, but I haven't done them since, just as an FYI.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. By the way, before you get your thoughts about Alter Ego, talk about what's been happening in terms of trying to get shows produced under a coronavirus pandemic situation, because that show, as well as all the other Fox sort of spectacle shows, some of which we've covered on this program the last couple of years, they and other programs, game shows, et cetera, have all had to deal one way or the other with this pandemic. How do you think they've managed to pull things through?
I think it's been an amazing experience and forced all of us to think more efficiently, both from a bodies on set and workflow perspective. Post-production has been remote, so that's been both more cost-effective and efficient. And technologically, like we're forced, again, due to the aforementioned items, we're forced to look at different ways to shoot things with less people on set, emphasizing the technology being used, remote cameras, drones, et cetera. I also consult for Viacom across all their networks to help get them back during the COVID period. So we've really been focused on technology, post-production, and making it all work with less people. So I think those are valuable lessons we're taking into this post-pandemic period.
Do you get a sense that live audiences will be able to come back and see the shows in person? I know, especially with game shows, that has been a very, very big concern, especially in Los Angeles.
Yeah, definitely. And that's another aspect of the technology that we've had to look at across all boards is how to do – to bring in audiences virtually, to, you know, pre-record audiences. But, yeah, L.A. is starting to get up audiences again. I know Masked Singer has 220 people right now. I'm doing a few shows. We're looking at audiences as well. So it's a matter of them being vaccinated, being tested, to allow them to get the audience experience of using no masks. So it's been great. It's nice to see people back in the studio.
Mm-hmm. Why don't you get your thoughts before we move on about Alter Ego? Fox is already promoting it. The idea, it's like Avatar, it's like Masked Singer plus Avatars. And I have to say, the Avatar technology from the promos I've seen over the last week looks amazing, looks fascinating. How do you think this is going to go over? What do you think is going to be the key to inviting the audience to check out these Avatars as like real singers?
I am hopeful and close to a lot of people at Fox, so wishing them nothing but success. It's just really interesting to see. I can't wrap my head around it, to be honest. My brother-in-law is working on it. A lot of friends are working on it, but I don't know that me, myself, as a viewer, am interested to see an avatar representing a celebrity. Again, rooting for it. Hope it does well and continues for many seasons, but I'm excited to see it, to see what all the buzz is about, because there's a massive amount of buzz around it, and just as hopeful to become a fan.
I'm curious whether this may be the first example of a use of augmented reality for an entertainment program, whether virtual technology may be used, or maybe like seeing this might be the first step toward a virtual world kind of environment, the kind of metaverse environment that Mark Zuckerberg at Facebook was talking about last week on his conference call, where he thinks television and smartphones and so forth could end up being ways to sort of introduce people with virtual worlds that you can step into and interact with at any given time. So it's we're very curious to see how Fox and the producers of this, of all three, can pull this off and pull it off on a weekly basis.
Yeah, I mean, look, as aforementioned, like, I think technology was – we were pushing technology to its bounds during COVID because we had to for VR, XR, AR, as well as, like, live concert events is, you know, how can we get audience interactivity and participation? So, like I said, I'm just as excited to see as you are. We've been using it across all shows lately in order to push the boundaries of technology and the viewer experience. I think the next step of that, and I know we've all been trying to look at it for a long time, is the interactivity of audience, real time. You know, you had it on American Idol when they used to call in. So it's what's that next step? And I've seen some pretty cool technology showing it. I'm excited to see it forthcoming in shows.
So Chris, what's White Label looking at? What projects are you up to right now?
Gosh, we're busy. I've been really fortunate. Right now we're doing our second batch of Unicorn Hunters, which is basically the evolution of business investment shows. What The Voice did to American Idol, this is going to do to Shark Tank. We're also currently doing a pilot with ABC. We're doing an Amazon special. We're doing a podcast series. Miss Universe is coming up in Israel, which is really exciting. Some stuff on iHeart. Another batch of unicorns in December. So it's been, you know, I've been really fortunate to stay busy, and I think it's really based on the model of offering these studios, these talent management companies, the most cost-efficient option to produce TV.
Talk about more about
I'm
Unicorn
excited
Hunters.
To keep growing.
How is it different from Shark Tank, and where is it running? Cause I saw a press release on it like a week or two ago that suggested that Unicorn Hunters is now being test marketed now, but looks like it's getting very close to getting a network, either a network available through smart TV sets of devices or a cable network or a broadcast network. So bring us up to date about Unicorn Hunters and where people can see it.
Yeah, look, it references the audience interactivity, where Shark Tank, again, a great family-viewing show where I can sit down with my mom, my friends, and my kids and watch it interact. This is taking audience participation to the next level, where it's not only democratizing access of the world to pre-IPO companies, but you can real-time invest. Once you see the show, I can go online, click, and I'm invested in one of these amazing companies. And as you saw, it's being shopped around. There's a lot of interested buyers, some pretty big networks involved. I think it will continue to stream both on unicornhunters.com, which is also the domain for the investment hub. You can see it in the ancillary places such as Facebook and YouTube, of course, but there should be some pretty exciting news to announce, my guess, in the next month or so.
And what kind
we'll just continue
of
to bring legitimacy.
Are,
oh,
or entrepreneurs are being pitched?
Everyone. What you see in the venture capitalist world, there's a pretty traditional archetype that gets the money from the VCs. What this does is, like I said, not only democratize access to us as investors, you and me being able to get access to investing in Uber 15 years ago, but it, on the other side, it's giving companies that don't have access to these VC outlets the chance to get real money raised. You know, one of my favorite companies, this is a company called FarUV, a guy who was on Wall Street. Now he's 65, and he created a light that kills pathogens. Couldn't be more appropriate during COVID, but just for the future. It's got to deal with the government, the military already. And there's a lot of companies like that, a lot of women-led companies, a lot of diverse-owned companies. So it's, like I said, it's not only exciting for audience participation and interactivity, but to see these companies get access to the money they need to grow and change the world.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. With Unicorn Hunters, is there any sort of advice that you would give to people watching in terms of what to look for with these entrepreneurs before they make the interactive call to invest?
I mean, look, my dad was a stockbroker, so I'm a little closer to this than the average bear, but I just believe in invest companies you believe in, companies you like. I remember telling my dad about Apple 20 years ago, companies that you use, you like, and you believe in.
Chris Wagner, the head of White Leo Productions, he's our guest this first half hour of year 15 of Tomorrow Be Televised. He's in Los Angeles. I'm in New York. Simon Applebaum with you live from NYC, where, by the way, it's 78 degrees at the top of the hour. Beautiful day here in the tri-state area. And if you have a question, comment, or any minutes with Chris, make that call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Friday on Tomorrow Be Televised, you will hear from the executive producer and showrunner of the popular Showtime series, The L Word, Generation Q, Marja Lewis-Ryan, who just signed a new program development agreement with that network. We'll talk to her about that and what she's planning for Season 2, which premieres later this month on Showtime. Marja Lewis-Ryan from The L Word, Generation Q, she's with us live Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Aside from Unicorn Hunters, what are some of the other projects that you're juggling right now?
We're doing a pilot for ABC, a painting competition show, which is exciting with a really big brand. We just finished a Can't Cancel Pride, which promotes money and funding for LGBTQ plus companies. We're doing a massive special for Amazon, which is going to shoot in about a month. Doing a lot of work with iHeart on different levels. One I'm most excited about is a Miss Universe in Israel, which is it's an exciting opportunity to bring it to that country right now. Another special for Big Network, and some big things coming up in the new year too. I wish I could tell you more right now, but they haven't been announced, so I can't get into detail. But we've got a lot going on and a lot more coming, which is exciting.
Chris, one thing I can tell you is you are about to be the recipient of our first call of year 15 on the program. Hello, you're on Tomorrow Be Televised. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hey, Simon. It's Rick Webb calling from Philadelphia.
Rick, it's great to have you. You have been one of our longtime listeners and longtime callers. You've called more than anybody else, and your questions are always great, and it's wonderful to have you on our year 15 opener.
And happy anniversary to you also, Simon, and congrats on 15 years of success.
Thank you. You're very welcome.
What's up,
Rick? Ahead, Chris Wagner is ready to listen to you.
Okay.
How you doing, Rick?
Hey, Chris. I'm doing great. My question
nice
for you
man.
Is, what's that?
Nice to
I'm
meet
sorry,
you.
Oh, it's great speaking with you. I'm a big fan of so many of your shows, and I've actually watched some interviews of you previously.
Oh, wow.
I guess it was
I'm
Screen
grateful.
Culture.
Thank you.
Yeah, like Screen Culture.
Yeah.
I guess it was.
Yeah, that
month.
Was a really cool interview.
Yes,
yeah,
it was.
Great.
It was.
Thank you so much.
So that's why I'm especially calling in to ask you this question: whether because you do so much unscripted, whether it's more of a nightmare to edit.
No, I mean, look, what takes a lot of time is really creating the look in that first episode. Once you get the archetype of it. It really creates the path for all the other episodes, depending on what that is, of course. When you get a live competition reality series, you know, a la American Idol or X Factor or something like that, it's a lot different. But it becomes very formulaic.
Okay. Just when I was going to film school 100 years ago, Robert Rodriguez said to always have a dog in your movie because whenever, like, somebody ad-libs and you have nowhere to cut to, you just cut to a reaction shot of the dog. And that kind of taught me about, like, doing – I do camera for a living, so just always getting lots of B-roll of reactions and stuff so that you always have something to cut to. So, but just you do it for a living, and I'm just thinking, wow. It has to be a nightmare sometimes, but you do such a great, an amazing job with it.
Well, it's so funny that you say that because Rob Wade, the president of Fox, one of his big things, and certainly there's been a lot of articles about, is the audience reaction shots. He believes so thoroughly that it really tells the story of the show and the performances and the judge reactions, et cetera, like, and there's been articles, numerous articles written about it, is how the audience reactions tell the story of the show. So it's funny that it was kind of like an ad-lib move, but this is like a very intent move to present the overall story of the show. So it's fascinating.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I better let Simon get back to his show, and congrats, and I'll definitely keep following your career, Chris, as well, because you know, I loved that last interview, and digging this interview as well, and congrats on your production company, White Label, as well.
Oh man, thank you so much, Rick. I'm really grateful you reached out and dropped me a note. Let's connect.
Cool. Awesome. Thank you. And thanks, Simon.
Yeah, have a great day, man.
You too.
And Rick, thanks again for all the wonderful questions and times you've called us in on Tomorrow Be Televised over the years. It's very deeply appreciated. And to have faithful viewers like you, that's why we're coming into year 15. People like you make it happen.
Absolutely. Thank you for doing what you do. And, and I've learned a lot with your show over all the last years. So thank you.
You're very, very welcome, Rick. Take care. Rick Webb, our friend from Philadelphia, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. And no surprise, gave us a call for our first day of year 15 on the air. And before you wrap up, Chris, is there a direction on scripted television or a network that you haven't worked with before that with this production company, White Label, you can finally sit around and do?
Apple. I've been super fortunate to kind of do every genre across all platforms and networks. I've never worked with Apple, and I'm really excited to do for something for them. They do quality stuff, so it'd be good to have a project with them.
We've had, by the way, Chris, a number of the Apple nonfiction shows on our program, and they are starting to get a nice track record of shows and some very different approaches, whether it's specials or series that they're doing. They're really filling in a lot of blanks in the unscripted arena, and much more coming from what I understand from their programmers.
Yeah, they did the Mariah Carey thing last year. Simon, hook me up. Get me in with Apple, Simon.
Yeah, your lips to God's ears. We try. We'll see what happens. In the meantime, one of the shows that Chris has worked on, The Masked Singer, begins its newest season on Fox Wednesday, September 22nd, 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time, followed by the premiere of the brand-new spinoff, Alter Ego. That's from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time on your local Fox station, Eastern and Pacific. And for more details about the program online, both programs, I should say, Fox.com. And, Chris, how can people on the web find out more about White Label and the various TV projects you're working on?
You can go to the website, WLP-TV.com, or follow us on Instagram, White Label TV, at White Label TV, or the website, WLP-TV.com.
There you go. Chris, thank you very much for being our first guest of year 15 on our show. It's been a pleasure to have you. All the very best to you and everybody at White Label on your future projects, and we'd love to have you come back anytime.
Yeah, for sure. So honored to be with you. Thank you so much. Have a great day, Simon.
You too, Chris. All the greatest. Take care. Chris Wagner from White Label. You got it. Chris Wagner from White Label Productions joining us live from Los Angeles. More Tomorrow Be Televised coming away, but first some words from the fine folks at our longtime sponsor, Audible.com. You in the mood for a very unique mystery with all sorts of twists and turns? One of the best mystery writers around is Karen Slaughter, and one of her most popular books is now a title at Audible.com called False Witness. By the way, Karen has another one of her titles being adapted as we speak by Netflix. And False Witness, wow, it has a lot of twists and turns for you. And remember, you can hear it right now when you go to a one-month trial of Audible.com. If you haven't heard, Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital entertainment, information, and inspiration. There's over 200,000 titles to choose from, and you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, all of our podcast sites, Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, iRadio Podcast Network, Verbal, and also our wonderful website, tomorrowbetelevised.podsci.io. All you got to do is sign up, and when you do, at audibletrial.com/televised, you get one free audiobook, health and wellness information while it lasts, that one-month trial, and great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com. Oh, and if you are an Amazon Prime member customer already, guess what? Make that two audiobooks for your trial, including one from the growing catalog of Audible Originals. That means everything from One Woman, One Man shows, Best of Broadway or Broadway Theater, and exclusive access to Amazon Originals, which includes series and podcast series as well. So how about making today the day that you find out how Audible.com can transform the way you hear the world? For all details, go to audibletrial.com/televised. Remember, it makes a great gift for you or someone you love. When we come back, we'll talk to a one-woman force whose pilot, The High Life, is now running at Gina Davis's Bentonville Film Festival today and for the rest of the week. Stephanie Sanders joins us live from L.A. after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradiospeakerandtunein.com. Together, reach you over 60 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Don't forget, BTR is your home for Women Who Jam Radio. You can check it out tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern. That's 4 p.m. Pacific. Women Who Jam Radio. You will be entertained by them. Tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, that's BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the second half of our opening episode of Year 15 of Tomorrow Be Televised. Simon, I'm with you live from New Weather, New York. 78 degrees at the top of the hour. Absolutely beautiful day here in the New York metro area. Another great guest coming for you in the half hour ahead. We invite you to pick up the phone and give our guest a call. All you got to do is dial this number, 646-652-2906, or use that chat room, SimonApple04. You'll find it at the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Well, another film festival that's getting more into television is happening today and all this week as we speak. It's the Bentonville Film Festival put together by the Oscar-winning actress Gina Davis, who's a sidekick on this venture and other projects too. Wendy Guerrero was on this program several months ago. And more than ever before, Bentonville is becoming as much a television festival as it is a film festival. As mentioned in the tag, lots of panel sessions cover the world of TV. And more importantly, more TV pilots being screened than ever, five of them. And one of them is a pilot that's also been playing in other film and TV festivals in recent months and doing very well with them. It's a dramedy called The High Life. And joining us live to talk about it is the actress who is also the writer, the producer, and the co-director of that series pilot. Joining us live in Los Angeles, Stephanie Sanditz. Stephanie, welcome in.
Hello. Happy to be here.
And pleasure to have
happy,
you, Stephanie.
Happy 15th,
any early word from Bentonville about your pilot?
Say it again?
Any early word from Bentonville about your pilot and how it's doing down there with Gina Davis's festival?
No, I think that the virtually is just starting today, and then I'm actually traveling down Thursday night, and then we have the screening in a theater on Saturday. So it's early days, but I'm very excited about it to be included.
How did you get in, Stephanie? How did Gina and her crew decide this was one of the five that get the chance to get screened there?
You know, I hope to find out, but I submitted through Film Freeway, which is the portal that most of the, you know, established film festivals, you know, pick their content, and I submitted a trailer and a letter and talked about what it meant to me, and, you know, either there was only five submissions or mine was one of the top. So I guess it resonated. So I hope to hear more, but I'm really, it's a very, very cool festival, so I'm excited to be a part of it.
Let's hear about the road to The High Life. When did you first decide, I want to do a pilot and maybe a series about this particular subject?
Well, it's kind of an interesting subject if people don't know. The pilot itself is a personal story. I grew up with, as I call, as a Christmas tree Jew. My father was Jewish and my mother was from a Christian family. And we really kind of didn't talk so much about religion, but it was kind of expected to celebrate all of these holidays and kind of show up at all of these events. And I was always kind of a seeker and was looking for a little bit more meaning in my life. And I moved to New York and became an artist, and I actually became a reviewer of bars and restaurants. And during this time, I had an aunt who was one of the executive vice presidents of MasterCard and one of the people behind the campaigns of For Everything Else, There's MasterCard, that campaign. And she was wonderful and very successful, but very materialistic and a little bit neurotic, and she suffered ovarian cancer, and sadly, and battled it for 10 years and then ultimately died. And the family my very repressed, not groovy family all got together essentially to read her will, and we were all shocked to find out that her dying wish was for the whole family to get together, get naked, and hike her ashes to the top of a nudist Buddhist monastery that she'd secretly joined while she battled cancer and died peacefully. So my family did that. My super repressed, not groovy family got naked and hiked a Ziploc bag of ashes up a mountain to fulfill a dead woman's last spiritual request. And we all were changed that day. And the pilot I wanted to write about kind of aha moments of when in the face of death, how you look at your own mortality. And I'd changed careers at the time. My father looked, everyone in the family, while the characters are fictional, it's based loosely in reality. And just kind of these moments where you are faced to look at like what really matters. And that while this was shot before COVID, I feel like this year was really, you know, trying time, these last 2 years, I guess it's been going on, where, you know, a lot of people lost a lot of people, or a lot of people were really forced to take pause and see, you know, how short life is, how precious life is, and possibly make changes. And also a lot of people had to move back in with their families, which is where the series goes. And so how that affects people. So that's how it all started.
As you were writing this pilot, Stephanie, what came into your mind about how personal to make it?
You know, that is the kind of continual struggle or, you know, luxury, I think, that I have. How personal. Sometimes when I'm working on a couple studio films right now that are, like, much bigger, and in a certain way it's easier almost just to, like, let go of everything that's completely true to my life so you can have a little more fun with the characters and, like, not get so tied up in the logistics. So I like to keep it as close as possible, but then as vague as possible, so people keep wondering which parts are secret. And I dare people to come to tune in and watch it so they can question what really happened and what didn't.
Mm-hmm. And when you are inviting people to join you in this project, whether it is as fellow actors, you have a co-director on this, whether it's, you know, production people, what was their initial reaction, and ultimately, what was like the enrollment that was finally able to get them to? This might go places. I should jump in with Stephanie and make this work.
Yeah, it was a really beautiful kind of long. Each person was a little different. It started. I was working with this amazing director and former actress, Kimberly McCullough. We were actually trying to raise money to produce a feature film that I now hope to direct after this. She and I started down the road together, and we ended up doing this Indiegogo where we raised money, and we both just kind of had similar sensibilities of wanting to write really grounded characters and family stories that kind of, I like to say, to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. And we kind of had similar ideas of using backdrops of like Americana and like ideals of like the perfect family structure, and then how that's kind of forced with ideas of sexuality and racism and socioeconomic disparity and religion, but also with like a humorous guise. So kind of we had similar sensibilities of what I always try to do is make really grounded, good people that kind of get in their own ways. And like we watch them, especially the lead character that I play in this, gets in all the trouble and asks all the questions that everyone else wishes they can. So she kind of believed in me, and we raised this money, and then we were introduced to these other women, Mary Rolick, who is an executive producer on Atypical, and the wonderful Shannon E. Riggs, who I would not have been able to produce this without, just kind of read the script, and everyone, I think, was shocked by the, you know, the nudity and the absurdity, but also I think the characters within it really relate to people. Everyone has families that like they can't really talk to, or everyone, you know, everyone's forced to think about spirituality and religion and moving back home and kind of other themes of like second, third, and fourth coming of ages. And so she came on board, and then Amy French actually directed it, and she went to the AFI Women's Directing Workshop with Kimberly, and she just, I think, also resonated with the material and wanted to, you know, have the opportunity. Not that many people independently produce pilots. Essentially, you don't make your money back. You kind of do it as a showcase to try to get the series off the air. So I think it was fun for her. I don't want to speak without put words in her mouth, but to have the opportunity of shooting a fully produced pilot. And then just through friends, you got the casting director and, you know, this amazing cinematographer, Christian Herrera, was so lucky to get because we shot so fast. And, yeah, everyone just kind of came on board. It was felt, and then the actors was kind of the most amazing thing. And especially, you know, because we were asking people to, well, there wasn't really any nudity. There was a lot of spanks. And we're essentially asking people for sad, ultra-low budget wages to, you know, feign nudity and hike a mountain in the middle of the summer with us. And God bless them. We had the most incredible cast of people, and I just felt so grateful the whole time.
The High Life is one of five TV series pilots that are now on display virtually at Gina Davis's annual Bentonville Film Festival. It is going on starting today and continuing through the rest of the week and this weekend. And we've got the writer, producer, co-director, and star of this pilot, Stephanie Sandish. She joins us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised, along with our other guests. They're part of our start of our year 15 of this program, and so are you. Simon Hammond with you live from New York, 70 degrees at the top of the hour. You have a question or comment for our guests. Don't be shy. Make that phone ring, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Our third of three episodes that we're doing this week will be on Friday, and joining us as our lead guest will be from the new show, the popular Showtime series, The L Word, Generation Q, executive producer and showrunner Marja Lewis Ryan just signed a new program development deal with that organization. And second season of The L Word, Generation Q, comes your way later this month on Showtime. We'll talk to Marja about working on that series and what she has in her future plans. That's all coming up Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. And stay tuned for the top of the hour. We have a brand-new classic trivia question for you, and you can win two prizes out of it, a Nat Geographic jigsaw puzzle and the new version of Dark City, the popular book about the history of film noir by one of our guests on Friday, Noir Alley and Turner Classic Movies host Eddie Muller. So stay tuned for that. And we'll also give you the answer to the question we've been posing the last 2 weeks as well. So stay around. You could be our next classic trivia winner. Stephanie, was it always your call to star, write, produce, and co-direct? Did you ever think maybe that's so many chores to handle? Maybe I'll let somebody else do some of the producing and, you know, and focus
well,
on other things.
To be clear, Amy French did direct this, so I was the creator and kind of force behind it. So she did. She was behind the camera, but otherwise, you know, I feel like that's kind of a luxury at an independent price point. It was taking on a lot of hats, but it was the most invigorating, wonderful week of, I mean, it was probably one of the most fulfilling weeks of my entire life filming it. So it just felt really like what I've been wanted to do. I loved hiring people. I loved raising the money. I kind of loved being a part of it from top to bottom. But that being said, there's no way I would have been able to pull it off without an incredible team of people that were all on board and all supporting the show and, you know, really working together. So I think it took like a lot of pre-production and, but yeah, you know, I think it's not for everyone, but I loved it.
What was the most fulfilling part, Stephanie, of doing it as you and everybody was putting your vision to life?
You know, I think, I mean, sitting on set, having all of these incredible just to give them credit, Jeremy Glazer, who's in The Good Fight and just has his own show On the Ride and Rust Creek that's out in festivals now, and then Ron Perkins, who is on Spider-Man and so many other hit TV shows, and then Linda Pearl, who's on everything from Happy Days to 24. They were such pros. And then also Amy Landecker, who's just an icon of mine, got to play my aunt in the series. And then Jesse Garcia, who's right now in this really, who's in Narcos and From Dusk Till Dawn, but right now is the star of this really incredible Eva Longoria movie, Flamin' Hot, the Flamin' Hot Cheetos story. They're just all pros, and just to sit around and have them, you know, act, even having them have memorized my lines was just so incredible. And they were such powerhouses, and everything they brought to each character just was just humbling. And I think because it was, I think because the material is kind of ridiculous, but also really grounded, and these people that all just kind of want to be loved and understood, it just made it a really nice time. So, and we had a lot of nudists on the set, which like to be called naturalists, and they were very grateful to be given work, and it made for interesting craft service conversations when they would come up. So it was, the whole thing was as fulfilling as it was absurd, which is a little how I like to write and how my life is.
Mm-hmm. I understand that Bentonville is only the latest film or TV festival that has screened your pilot. What are some of the other ones, and what kind of reaction have you gotten from them? Has it been pretty much uniform from festival to festival, or do you, let's say, on a particular festival, you get this kind of criticism or this kind of reaction as opposed to something else?
You know, it hasn't been in so many. I mean, this year, this is kind of exciting because it, the last festival that it was in was Dances with Films, which I was so excited to be a part of. And normally it's at the Chinese Theater Live, and there's these big after parties at the Hollywood Roosevelt, which are both just like iconic buildings and structures of the golden age of cinema. And so it makes it like thrilling to be in these buildings. And sadly last year, because of COVID, it was all done virtually. I think the festival did like the best job of kind of trying to make people included, but it was a little, you know, you don't get to sit in the theater and hear people's reactions. So part of that was kind of disappointing. And the festival that I was in before was the Hollywood Reel Independent, which equally was right after COVID. It was just like right on the cusp, and it's just kind of a bizarre time to get people to come into theaters. That being said, being a part of the festival circuit is really exciting, because if you do, you just, you know, you meet all of the people that just kill themselves to get these stories told. And you meet real people who love television and love telling stories and love movies. And, you know, Hollywood is a business, and it's a hard game to stay into. So I find the festival community so exciting, because you just get to meet the people that are just so passionate about telling these stories. So I'm excited to go down and meet some of my other fellow filmmakers this weekend in the Ozarks, which is where actually my mother's part of my grandparents were from, the Missouri Ozarks. So Bentonville is in the Arkansas Ozarks. So kind of excited to go bring this story to that part of the world.
Hmm. Have you gotten any nibbles from any promoting service about turning your pilot into a series?
You know, this is kind of a kickoff. I've been like keeping it on ice during the pandemic, just like everything shut down. And I know that there was, you know, everything shut down. And then all of the pilots that were being picked up to be, you know, that were supposed to shoot this whole last year. So I've kind of been keeping it on ice, and this is kind of its new coming out party. So I'm really hoping that we do. That's the goal. I would love to be able to share the story and these characters with for many seasons to come, and watch them get into a lot of trouble with the audience. So we'll see. I'll let you know. I'm happy to have
network
you
introduced
to Apple along with Chris.
Apple TV Plus would be the ideal place for you.
Oh, like you talk about a lot in your show, I think there's a lot of incredible platforms right now. And, you know, even what all of the different networks and streaming services, like what's the content they have. I think, you know, one of the higher end streamers, it's a little edgy in content, although the characters are all really hopeful and well-intended. So it kind of, my writing a little, I think, toes the line of classic quote unquote primetime network comedy and, you know, higher elevated streaming. But I hope for a lot of people to see it, and I hope I get the chance to tell the story for more years. So to be continued.
Are you getting the sense that there is more opportunity for first-time writers, producers, directors, particularly female writers, to break into television? For example, last year we had Katori Hall, who was a playwright, put together P-Valley for Stars, and it turned out to be one of the best new shows of last year. It was just nominated for a bunch of TV Critics Awards, could have been nominated maybe for Emmys. For some reason, Stars does not seem to get the Emmy love, despite the fact they've had a very good track record of recent shows, both scripted and unscripted. Are you getting the sense that more first-timers are breaking through into television now, more than before?
I do think so. It's funny, at 2 today, one of the virtual panels of the Bentonville Film Festival is the head of Scripted for Stars, and I'm a big fan of P-Valley, so I'll be leaving you here to go join that panel for the festival. I think so, and I hope so. I love the idea that, you know, from people like Lena Dunham and Girls was one of, like, the game changers, and I May Destroy You was another series that came out on HBO. Yes, which was just, you know, relentless and fearless and, you know, not easy and super important. And, you know, that is such a good example of people taking real risks to tell real stories from, you know, and I'm sure all of these women, they, you know, first time you're seeing them, like she was also a playwright and a lot of these people have been working on their crafts for years, just not with a bigger audience. But I certainly hope so. And I think, you know, Gina Davis's film festival is really trying to, you know, make that happen as well. So selfishly, because I like, you know, new content and because I want to get more opportunities to write stories and bring them to people, I hope that that's the case. But I do think so. And I think it's exciting. I also think TV in general over the recent years, even in terms of actresses, has been, you know, and a lot more work needs to be done, but people have been able to take bigger risks and getting leading roles to complicated women and people of different, you know, sexuality and gender and race. And I feel like, you know, the standby of to sell a blockbuster movie, you just need, you know, sexy, hot male lead. And I think that that's changing too, but I really think that in TV is where we've, like, it really paved the way to have really complicated characters, you know, so that were women. So I find that as a really exciting, you know, landscape.
Yeah. And we should point out also that we are now seeing more women, especially women of color, form their own production companies. And who knows, could end up being like what Reese Witherspoon did today, sell her company Hello Sunshine and stay with it to this new venture that the former head of TikTok and Disney Plus, Kevin Mayer, and Tom Staggs, one of the key executives at Disney, just did for $900 million. That's going to pay for a lot of new productions at Hello Sunshine and open the doors for many, many more people, including more women and women of color. So kudos to Reese, by the way, on that deal. And she's staying with it, too, along with Sarah Hansen, her chief executive officer. Again, if you want to catch the highlights and the other four pilots that hope to become series someday at Gina Davis's Bentonville Film Festival, you can check out their website, bentonvillefilm.org. That's bentonvillefilm.org. Started today, continues through August 8th. And we'll keep you posted about how the TV pilots do. There's also panel sessions as well, covering a wide variety of TV subjects. Once again, for all details, bentonvillefilm.org. bentonvillefilm.org. And if you want to catch our interview with Wendy Guerrero, one of the key people working with Gina on TV projects out of that festival and various enterprises that they're doing, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. I think you'll really, really enjoy it. Stephanie, thank you very much for coming aboard on our opening day of year 15. Good luck with your pilot, as well as all the contenders at Bentonville. And if you do become a series with this, or you have another pilot that becomes a series, we'd love to have you back.
Wonderful. Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome, Stephanie. All the greatest. Take care.
Bye, Simon. Thank you. Bye.
You're welcome. Stephanie Sadness from The High Life, joining us live from Los Angeles. Now time for our classic trivia question of the week, and unfortunately we did not get an answer to our current question for the last 2 weeks, so nobody gets the National Geographic jigsaw puzzle. The question was, what's the name of the world-famous Olympic musical fanfare you've been hearing on NBC's coverage, whether it's on NBC or Peacock or USA, CNBC, etc.? Well, the answer from a man named Leo Arnaud, who composed the theme, is called Bugler's Dream. That's Bugler's Dream. That was the answer to our classic trivia question. So now it's time to bring on a new one, and this time we have two prizes in play. One is that National Geographic Jigsaw Puzzle, and the other we told about on our Friday episode when we had Eddie Muller from Noir Alley of Turner Classic Movies on, is his new revised edition of his classic book, Dark City, The History of Film Noir. And that can be yours, courtesy of Turner Classic Movies, if you know the answer to this question. It deals with the 1960s Batman series. How many people played the villain Mr. Freeze on Batman? If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. And make sure you enclose your name and your mailing address so that if you are the winner, we get the prizes out to you. If we don't get a winner by the end today, question gets posed tomorrow on Facebook and on Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum and Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. Remember, in order to win, you got to play in. So do so, and all the very best. One more time, the question on the TV series Batman, how many people played the villain Mr. Freeze? SimonApple04@yahoo.com. That's the email you use. Don't forget your name and address. And let's see if we can get a winner by our next episode, Wednesday. And by the way, on that episode Wednesday, we will have the award-winning director of the classic documentary Cocaine Cowboys, Billy Corbin. He's our lead guest, and now he has a brand-new miniseries that's a spinoff of that documentary called The Kings of Miami, which premieres later this month on Netflix. Also, for the first time in a long while, we'll talk about the Outdoor Channel, one of the most popular programs, The Foul Life, with its host Chad Belding and its producer Tyson Walden. They'll both be with us live. Plus, can MTV find new life at 40, with this week being the 40th anniversary of the start of MTV, with music and music videos never the same since? Well, I've got some ideas about that, and I want to hear from you, too. We'll talk about that on one of our segments. It's all happening on Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. Again, thanks to both of our guests for being here, kicking off year 15. And again, thanks to you, and everybody else for making our show go these past 14 years and getting year 15 off to a great start. Remember, if you want to catch up on today's program or an episode you've missed throughout our past 14 years, go to the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Check out the podcasts. They're available 24/7 on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Verbal, and the iRadio Podcast Network. And our brand new website, tomorrowbetelevised.podsite.io. And don't forget, use our email. Go on social media, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter to communicate. We do communicate back. Why? As always, what you say matters. The views expressed here are those of the participants, not to those of Blog Talk Radio and other streamers of this program. Andy Toth is Blog Talk Radio's general manager, with Jay Sonnenberg, head of content. Website services are provided by PodSite, the new internet avenue for podcasts. For more details, go to podsite.io. Our web coordinator, guitarist, Beatrice. Tomorrow Be Televised is brought to you by Audible.com and Amazon Divisions. Remember, Audible will transform the way you hear the world. And for a free audiobook or two and much more, it's audibletrial.com/televised. For Tomorrow Be Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening over the last 14 years and the start today of year 15. Keep it coming. And remember, we'll be back on Wednesday, same time, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific. You know where, Blog Talk Radio, Speakers and Radio, plus our podcast affiliates as well. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.